Welcome to this edition of the Bears Den podcast. I'm Matt Bear. For this episode, I'm joined by two Minnesota boys high school basketball experts to help break down the upcoming Minnesota boys state basketball tournament. Ryan James from Prep Hoops and TC Hoopsar are here to give us their insight into each bracket for the four classes, some of the top players to watch, and who they think will win it all. But first, let's recognize our sponsor, Midwest Basketball Training. If you are looking to hone your skills or amp up your training, you should check out the MBT facilities or their other player development opportunities. They have now added another facility in Rogers to go along with their other three locations in Brooklyn Park, Blaine, and Maple Grove. Visit their website at MidwestBasketballTraining.com for more information. Pat Freeman and his team do a great job working with youth around the metro area. And again, that website is MidwestBasketballTraining.com. Also, if you haven't yet, please subscribe and follow the show wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's head into the Bears Den for this conversation with Ryan James and TC Hoopsar. Fellas, how are we doing? Thanks for joining tonight.
Wonderful. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's an honor to be here, back in the den. Back in the den with the Bear. Let's go.
And Ryan, you've had a busy Sunday with Big Ten Championship, finding out the Gopher NIT news, getting everything organized for the state tournament. So your plate's been full.
Yeah, to go in reverse, before I got in here, the Gophers made the NIT. They're kind of the NIT, you know, super team with their three championships and two runners up and one third place in the last 40 years. And before that, I was at the Big Ten tournament watching a really good game between Illinois and Wisconsin. Really fun environment. This morning, we had the Mr. Basketball finalists, which was Jax McAndrew, Isaac Azuma, Daniel Freetag, Kazmir Chavis, and Isaiah Johnson. We got that out. So, yeah, it's been a full day, you know. And, you know, I also reminded myself that I get to go cover the Minnesota State High School League tournament this year for the first time in 7 years. So, yeah, it's been a lot this weekend.
That's great. Good for you. And Czar, we're still licking the wounds from that Wisconsin defeat. The Bucky fan that you are, or are we good?
Yeah, it licking the wounds from that, and then getting James Madison in the tournament draw is a really tough other blow. But getting to play Illinois in the final, you know, just gravy after beating Purdue. So we'll shake that off and look forward to what should be a heck of a game Friday night in Brooklyn.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, no one probably watches more high school basketball than you two guys. I'm curious to know, between online viewing and in person, taking games in, how many games have you guys watched? Let's start with you, Czar.
I've done about 175. That's probably 60-40 video in-person split. Video's great. You know, allows us to do a lot more. You can watch multiple games in a night rather than traveling to one and that being your only game of the night. So that's varsity level only. It doesn't count any of the JV or lower level stuff.
RJ, are you half of that clip, or what are you looking at for games numbers that you've taken in this year?
Seven games in a day, six, sometimes eight. Most everything I do is on basketball, so I would say it's about half of what Kevin does. Mr. Hoopsar over there gets to a lot of games and he watches a lot online, and there's no way I could keep up.
You know, some, they're the haves and the have nots, right?
Well, how you do any of what you do, RJ, is amazing. With, you know, trying to cover the Gophers in high school and all the prep hoop stuff you do, the fact that you get as much in as you do is always remarkable to me.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Czar. That's nice of you.
Gosh, you guys are so friendly. This is great. But let's get right in. Let's get right in.
Pepsi later.
Let's get right into it here.
Yes.
State tournament tips off. A little disappointed this year. We're breaking up the two venues. Timberwolves have games Friday and actually Tuesday, Friday, Sunday of this week. So that means part of the event is going to be at Target Center, and then the majority of it's going to be across the way over at Williams and some of the other venues there. So first game tipping off, Class 4A on Wednesday, quarterfinal, Wayzata against Rogers will be the first game, and then games will flow from there. So let's go class by class. Let's start with the big guns, Ryan. 4A, the big schools here. And I think everyone's perennial, you know, pick this year to win it and defend is the Wayzata Trojans and repeat. They're back better than ever. Jackson McAndrew and company looking to repeat. And they're could match up potentially with Park Center again in the finals. So what are your thoughts as you saw the 4A bracket come out, Ryan?
Well, I saw the 4A bracket, and I thought, shoot, you know, Rogers had a pretty good year, and they got through a good section, and their reward for being, you know, probably should have been, if there was a 1-8 seed was a 6, they'd have been 6, but no, they get Wayzata, who's playing, you know, they're being a beast right now, and they're a deep beast. They got so much talent, they got size, they play a great team basketball game, and, you know, their sophomore guards, Wiggins and Olmstead, they're peaking at the right time, and Jackson McAndrew, the top 30 player in the country, Mr. Basketball favorite, and coming off a 40-point game, it's just going to be tough. But, you know, Blake DeLuge and the Rogers kids, the senior group, they really had a nice season, and they earned their trip. So that'll be the start of it, and then we move into, you know, you got Park Center versus Egan, and, you know, Egan's is probably more of a front court, pretty good team, whereas Park Center's got guards and guys that are gonna, they can throw at you from all angles. And Minnetonka is – we'll play Coon Rapids. Coon Rapids is a fun story. They got a really good guard, Jerry Freeman, that I like. But Taka is also scoring at will right now. And then you have Farmington, Creighton-Durham Hall, great story. They're probably a year ahead of where I expected them to be. Jerry Klein and his group have done a great job. They have some great young players. But then Farmington's a big physical team that's playing great basketball right now. They beat Creighton earlier in the year by 10. I think they'll probably get them again. And we could get a really physical Farmington versus Wayzata matchup if that happens. Then Park Center and Taka have played this year as well in a close game over the holiday that Cash Chasers took over at the end. So I think we got some big games, fun games that are going to be coming ahead of us in the 4A tournament, although the semifinal and final is probably where the close games will be.
Czar, what's your take on things as you see the 4A bracket kind of laying out?
Yeah, I'll second all of what RJ said. And for Rogers, getting Adam Broberg back, I think, is an important guard addition for them. I was really good for them at the start of the year, then had to sit out due to injuries, just come back from that. So that's a big help. But Wayzata is still way too much in that game. The game I really like is the potential semifinal, Park Center and Minnetonka, kind of an irresistible force versus a movable object kind of game, as Minnetonka can score with anybody, especially now that they have Jordan Kane back. He was an absolute monster in their section final win over Shakopee. And you have a Park Center, a team who really defends well. And, you know, we saw they played, as RJ mentioned earlier in the year, Cash Chavis taking that game over. But I think that's another fantastic semifinal, very different semifinal than the potential very physical, grinded out kind of matchup that I think that Wayzata Farmington game will be. And, you know, Farmington kind of reminds me a little bit of Eastridge. And Eastridge gave Jackson McAndrew fits when Wayzata played Eastridge back in January, because they've got – Farmington's got big physical guys who are a bit athletic, Brandon Hernser, for instance. So having those guys match up with McAndrew would definitely be something to watch in that game. And then in the final, another possible rematch, Wayzata Park Center. That's been electric the last couple of years. Don't expect anything less this year.
I agree. I could see a lot of that happening again. So Ryan, as it kind of plays out, what are your thoughts on the winner that you see coming out of that 4A bracket then?
I just think Wayzata is playing too good at basketball. The best comparison there, they lost to Hopkins. The one game they lost to this year was Hopkins. They played him again. It was a one score game. Jackson won it at the end. And they had hit a game winner and then a block. And then they play Hopkins again, and they beat them by, like, I don't know what it was. It was, like, 30 or something like that, and Jackson had 40, and it was a complete blowout. They're playing high-level basketball right now. I just don't see anybody beating Wayzata.
Czar, what do you think?
I would concur with that. Wayzata is playing just too well right now, and I don't see Park Center being able to score enough, and I don't see Minnetonka being able to defend enough out of the other side of the bracket. So yeah, I would say YZ is a very heavy favorite there.
Yeah, and that would be interesting if YZ does win it again this year. That'd be three titles in 4 years for them. So that'd be a heck of a run they're on. And then the one they didn't win, they lost in the final. So they've really got it going over there.
Yes, they do. I'll throw out there though, if Farmington gets that second round against YZ, I'm telling you, they're a big physical team that's playing good basketball. Those Beckwiths are playing good. So just if that game is close, don't be surprised if Farmington gets past Creighton.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of intrigue too. Like Czar said too, with Minnetonka on the other side there, they're playing really good ball now too. So it could be a fun one. Now let's jump over into 3A. Again, could have another rematch of the final. And the defending champ for 3A is Totino Grace. They're back as the one seed. And we could see a rematch in that final with them and De La Salle. But would love to get your thoughts. We'll start with Czar on Class 3A is how you kind of see things at the beginning of this bracket here.
Well, as RJ talked about in the 4A bracket, the best unseeded team has to play the one seed in the first round. And I think that's also true in 3A. Stuartville was a team that you could argue in a lot of other years would be seeded. And they unfortunately drew Totino Grace, the top seed and the prohibitive favorite in that first game. Really good guard play for Stuartville. I think Totino Grace is too much in that game. I love the Orono De La Salle 4-5 game. So we won't have a rematch for the final. We could see it in the semifinal, though, between Totino and De La Salle. If De La Salle can get past Orono, and that Orono had that thrilling double overtime win over Benilde in the section final. If you haven't seen the highlights, go find them. It's three buzzer beaters. I won't spoil it from there. But absolutely amazing game, made SportsCenter's top 10. The bottom half of the bracket, Alexandria. How healthy is Grayson Grove? But when they're fully healthy, Alexandria is really talented with the Gopher commit. Chase Thompson's also terrific. So they're going to be fun. And then a really fun matchup in the two for the two seed Mankato East. Carson's Farm against Patrick Rowe, Chisago Lakes. Very fun wing matchup there in the quarters. So that one should be high scoring and very entertaining. Both teams really like to get up and down. So definitely a fun game to watch there, although I think Mankato East wins that game easily. But should, again, two really good wing players there. Schwein going to Mankato. Patrick Rowe, one of our top uncommitted seniors in Minnesota. So really, really deep 3A bracket this year. I think Totino wins in the semis. I think Alexandria wins their semi as well. I'll take them as much as I like Mankato East. And then final, Totino Grace, just too much. Isaiah Johnson's had a really great year. Mr. Basketball finalist. Dothan Jadambola, also terrific on the wing. Just too much, too talented. I think the Eagles repeat.
Got it. Well, I'm curious to hear RJ's thoughts, because I know when we did our season preview, RJ, you were very high on one Mankato East, and they come in as the two seed here. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on 3A.
Oh, I got a lot of thoughts on 3A. And let's start with the two best first round games this whole thing are Stuartville versus Totino Grace and Orono against De La Salle. But we got to talk about how we got there a little bit. Stuartville got unseated basically because some of the teams that knew they were going to get seated were scared of De La Salle. I don't know if De La Salle is a pretty good basketball team, but their name scares people, I think, as much as the team does too. So like Stuartville got, let's just say it, they got absolutely screwed and didn't get a seed. And then they get to draw Totino. And by the way, what kind of reward is that for your one seed? Getting Stuartville, who's the fourth ranked team in the state and has only three losses. So it's the how we got here, I don't like. It doesn't make any sense, but we're here. So Stuartville and Totino Grace is going to be an excellent first round game. Orono and De La Salle, the winner of these two games play each other. Orono De La Salle is going to also be an excellent first round game. I think both teams are in that 19-10 area record wise, but both teams play a really strong schedule, just like Totino Grace does as well. But like as you said, Mankato East is a deep, deep basketball team, and Totino Grace, as good as they are, they're a very good team. They're a team that might be able to match some depth with Tatino in the 3 year span that Tatino is, you know, 2 years winning it, 2 years winning it, this year being the favorite to win it. If there was ever a year where a team has the somewhat size matchup, depth matchup, athletic matchup, skill matchup, it's this year, and that's Mankato East. Mankato East did lose a game to Century this year. I think, I don't remember what their record is offhand. It's something like 26-2, something like that. But like I think Mankato East can make a run and get there. But Alexandria is playing outstanding. Like Grayson is probably at 80% health. But like when they were playing Tech, he caught two lobs for dunks. He had two other dunks, and he sprinted before and splattered one of the Tamron Ferguson shots off the glass. So he might not be full percent, and you could see the brace on his leg where the tibula broken. Tibula. Oh, I'm going to need some medical help on that one. But, yeah, whatever one's in the leg. They look great, and their zone defense is something that people aren't prepared for, and they cover ground because they know it so well. Mason Witt shooting the snot out of the ball. Chase Thompson is not only just a corner three man right now, he's doing good work in the paint. You know, with Grayson being out, he had to do more in the paint, so now he's inside out, and Alexandria's deep too. So I'm telling you, Alexandria also has depth. They also have size. They can also move. They're also a team that if there's at any point – during a Santino run, if someone's going to be able to match up with them, or at least close to it, it's going to be Mankato Easter, Alexandria this year. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to pick them. It just means that I think one of them could give Santino a run. But I do think Santino will win it.
All right. So that would be, by my count, then a three-peat, I believe, if Santino gets it done this year. So are both of you guys going with the Eagles then from Tatino Grace as your pick?
Yeah, I am. And I think Alexander reminds me defensively a lot of those old Austin teams with the zone they play. Very nasty look. They've got length, a lot of depth, as RJ talked about. And that's why I picked them in the semis over a Mankato East team that I love too, like RJ does. Clearly the number two seed in the bracket, but that defense, that 1-2-2 zone that Alexandria plays is really nasty and really hard to prepare for.
That's what I was going to ask you guys, if it was similar to the Austin style zone. So do they go, you know, three-quarter court with their zone defense?
They can, but the way they play the coverages out of it with the back line playing, coming up and playing the middle, making it look like a 1-3-1. That's the part that'll remind you of Austin, and I should probably talk about Austin since Orion's the A-town guy here. I'll let RJ speak to that.
Oh, go ahead. All good. It's all good. The you know, I've watched Alexandria, I would say, four or five times this year covering Grayson for Gopher Illustrated. I don't know that they extended some. I don't know that I've seen it extended much this year as I saw at State last year. That doesn't mean they won't do it at State. But yeah, it's a bear to deal with. You know, it gave Tatino some troubles last year. So we'll see what happens. This year, obviously, Tatino wouldn't face Alexandria or East until the finals. But, like, it's interesting. Stuartville is ranked fourth in the state. Then if Tatino beats them, they'll face De La Salle or Orono, which will be fifth or sixth in the state. Then if they beat them, they're probably facing the second or third team in state, for which would be Alexandria and Mankato East. So that's – Tatino's got quite the gauntlet to run here. When it comes to the opponents that they've been thrown at. Whereas I'm not saying that Minneapolis South isn't, you know, Alexandria will be a little bit bigger favorite to beat Minneapolis South. And what am I missing here? Mankato East will be a big favorite to beat Chisago Lakes. So like the toughest game of all the people that got seeded is Tatino. It's so funny.
Yeah. Tatino got the gauntlet draw. Like that's as tough a draw as you could have possibly drawn up for Tatino. But I think RJ, you and I would probably want to talk about the story that is Minneapolis South. Let's give some props there to Coach Joe Heisen.
Oh, yeah.
What he's done over there. That's a team I know I didn't have any real expectations for them, but they brought in Jamarian Way from Edison. Poet Davis has been terrific for them. And even though Romero Walker, their big guy, had a really horrific leg injury beginning of February, they've held course without him and really survived in the section final. Very entertaining game. Missed 16 shots in a row in the last 10 minutes of that game. gave up a 14-point lead, but forced three late turnovers and ended up winning that game over St. Thomas to reach the state tournament. So, you know, for so long in the Minneapolis City, we've talked about, you know, Henry and North and Washburn, who have been the story over the years. But to see South come out of there is really a wonderful story. So props to Joe Heiser and what he's done over there this year.
100%. And Matt the Bear, Kevin the Czar, 32 years it's been since South was at state. But you know what we forgot to say? The Farmington Tigers, 87 years since they played in the state tournament. So, yes, props to both.
I love that.
41 years for Coon Rapids.
Oh,
what
yes.
Was that, Czar?
41 years for Coon Rapids as well.
Yes.
Since they qualified. That's in the 4A. They're in the 4A bracket. They draw, I think, Minnetonka in the first round.
Yeah, Coach O, very – Coach O'Gorick, very, very excited for Coon Rapids. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, RJ, with Farmington. I love hearing those, you know, schools that have been 50 years, 60, whatever it has been, but 87. I mean, that's insane. I wonder how long Farmington's even been a town.
Like, I'll tell you what, like, I'm sorry, Coon Rapids. I didn't even know it was that long because, like, you know, 41 years. Well, Farmington's like, hold my beer or. Hold my 46 beers because it's been 87 years for us.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Okay, so 3A sounds like we're complete on the analysis there. Now let's jump over into 2A. Again, defending champ is back there with Albany. They are not the one seed, though. The one seed, which they have pretty much been all along for 2A, has been Breck. And I think a lot of people have liked them from the beginning of the season, especially when Daniel Freitag transferred over in there. RJ, let's start with you on kind of the 2A bracket here.
To be honest with you, I can't see the only teams that have a chance here to beat Breck are Lake City or in Albany. And I just don't know. Like Lake City has good depth. I don't know if they have the depth to beat Breck. I'm not sure what Albany has for depth right now. They have two really good starters back, but last year they had, you know, Zeke Austin and Sam Hondo, but then they had seniors with them. This year's a little different. Those two are the main leaders. I don't know that they have the depth to deal with Breck, but you know, we'll see. I mean, it's not like Breck has been in this situation before, you know, so that's all. Like, it's, you know, Wyzetta, Totino, Graces, we're talking favorites. They've been in this situation before. The kids at Breck really have not, but they are still a heavy favorite. But at the same time, the state tournament, that's a little something different. But here's interesting. They're playing Waseca, and they're going to be a big favorite over Waseca. But it's the Waseca staff. They've been here before. You know, they with Andrew Morgan and Ryan Dufault and the Willinghams, they've been here before. So it'll be interesting to see where that experience on the bench. And not as much as the Waseca players. I mean, those kids that are seniors right now or, you know, they're freshmen and stuff, like cheering, you know, yay. But, like, at the same time, you know, we'll see. But then, like, Lake City, they play Pelican Rapids. Lake City probably got – if they're, I don't wouldn't say they got screwed or anything, but they definitely 23-win team. So we got Jackson County Central in Albany. And then Minnehaha Canucks, ranked sixth. Yeah, I mean, I thought that the seeding probably worked out where they should be, where they were the four. I was a little surprised that Minnehaha got the five, but at the same time, that should be a good game.
All right, and Czar, what are your thoughts on the 2A bracket?
Yeah, Breck is definitely a prohibitive favorite there. Daniel Freitag's been terrific, and they've really shot the ball well. They shot the lights out against Blake in the semifinals the other night out at St. Michael. Hanif Muhammad, a guy who can handle it, really shoot it. JP Masoki's been really good for them. Freitag as a passer has been really terrific and been playing at that Mr. Basketball level, hence being a finalist. So, yeah, and they didn't even really need anything from Miles Newton in that game. So they've got a lot of different interchangeable wing players, a really hard team to deal with. They could get a rematch with Minnehaha in the semis. Minnehaha, the five seed, they played a really tough schedule, lost a bunch of games to teams in 3A and 4A, which hurt their record. And Breck got them pretty good in the regular season. But, you know, as RJ talked about, you know, they're a team that's been there. And I think that will help. And then Albany, you know, the experience of being there as well. On the other side, I think their game with Lake City should be very entertaining in the semis. But yeah, Albany in the final. Hopefully they can give Breck a game. But yeah, I see Breck winning that.
All right. So Ryan, your thoughts then on the 2A, who you think is going to be in the final and maybe come out on top for 2A?
I would say Lake City versus Breck will be the final. I just think that Lake City, having the veterans of Hunter Lawrence, who's headed to Crookston, and Keegan Ryan, who's headed to North Dakota, Jaden Schoen's, Riley Fick, with the youngsters with them, I think they have the depth and the experience to play Breck in the final. I just think Breck has too much. Like, could Breck hit a speed bump? They could, definitely. It's just they shouldn't, though. They're the favorite.
Okay. Got it. Sounds like both of you are going with Breck then. Then let's get to the final bracket here, Class 1A, the small schools. And RTR, the defending champion, is back, Russell Tyler Ruthden. So they could repeat, but their first round matchup is with the heavy favorite that I think a lot of people see making it to the title game, their opponent that RTR faced in the title game last year, which is Cherry. So, Ryan, let's start with you for 1A and how you see things here for the 1A side.
Well, you look at it, another one of those draw things. Like, RTR is playing exceptional basketball right now. And I would have expected that they would have been seeded, but they weren't. So then Cherry, who has been the clear number one all year, gets, a team that's trying to defend their title. Cherry's playing at a level right now that I don't think it matters. They're so balanced. Like, they have, I got to believe all five of their starters are averaging double figures. I mean, Isaac Azuma's dang near at a triple-double every game, but he doesn't play. A lot of these games he takes an early seat because they're up so much. So he doesn't always get a triple-double. But Isaiah Azuma's defending and shooting it. Noah Azuma's shooting it. Like, Noah Sundquist is dunking it like he's the Birdman back in the day, down with the Miami Heat. And Carson Brown is a scoring weapon. So they're so deep that it's going to be tough for them to falter, but RTR is back because Drew Workman's a really good player. They got a transfer in named Andrew Myers, who's helped them, and Blake Christensen, the guard that was back. So it will be their first game. It's a tough first game. Meanwhile, West Central Area is a team that had been 2A, and they're down, and now they're at 1A, and they're my second ranked team in that class, and they are coached. They are deep. They are veterans, and they can come at you from all angles. Like Ben Bai, Rice, Gajespo, Camden Anderson's a guy that was hurt and came back. You have Mitchell and Marshall Dewey. Like, they just come at you, and they're a veteran team. So West Central is the team that they're going to be. They get Heritage Christian. I think Kevin will be able to speak to you more on them. But definitely West Central is another one of the teams that I think highly of. Fertile Beltrami is a team that I've been able to see actually twice this year. They have a really good player named Caden Swenby, who does a lot for them. But they also have a nice young player, about 6'5 forward, Preston Hansen, who's a sophomore. And then Derek Sorensen's a good guard. And so Fertile Beltrami is a sleeper for this that you got to watch out for. And they play Goodhue. Now, Goodhue's a fun little story. Nobody expected Goodhue to be here at all. We expected Spring Grove, Blooming Prairie was on a roll. Goodhue is suspected, after all the seniors that left them last year, no one expected them to be where they're at. Their top returning player was a young kid, sophomore named Luke Roshan. But they've put together, the Hiawatha Valley League, playing all these older teams. They were ready, and they made it to state. Alex Lewis is another player that's been really good for them. And they are going to take on Fertile Beltrami in that first-round game. And then the other game, the last but not least, 4A basketball game that would be played, and as you can tell, I'm stalling so I can get to it. Nevis versus Mountain Lake Area. Nevis is that been at state. This is their fifth year in a row. And as I get those milestones, don't forget West Central Area, first trip for them. Welcome. But Nevis is 5 years in a row. So Nevis is battle tested. They play, they didn't win a lot of the best games in their schedule, but they scheduled a lot of the top teams in Class A. And then they made it to the state tournament. They play Mountain Lake Area Comfrey, who is a senior-dominated team. Carter Olson, Cody Wassman, Ashton Toll, Grant Oakland, Alex Karshnick, all seniors, all guys that have been playing together since they were in, you know, fourth grade, and they're making that run as a third-ranked team in state. So that is your field. It's going to be tough for anybody to knock out Isaac Azuma and Cherry, though.
Definitely, no doubt. And Czar, your quick take on some of the Class 1A stuff as you see it.
Yeah, Cherry's going to be a handful. They're so loaded. The Asuma brothers, Carson Brown, Noah Sundquist, all the guys RJ mentioned. Defending the Metro honor here, Heritage, sleeper team here. I like Heritage. And yeah, they struggled in some of their big games, but they've got a big man, Abu Tarawali, football kid in the middle. Good couple of guards in Josh Sequoy and Jonah Moulton. Sequoy can make plays from the combo guard spot. Moulton's a shooter. Junior laden squad, but they played a lot of sophomores, so they've got experience. And Goodhue is a good story because they're the third team out of the HVL to make state. Three teams from three different classes for the HVL. So props to them. And for Nevis, Alex Lester, a big guy, 6'7", lanky, mobile, the kid that I'm looking forward to seeing this summer play. So yeah, they're going to be a fun team to watch as well in this. But yeah, Cherry, huge favorite here.
Yeah, no doubt. And I just think the interesting thing is, because I had a lot of teams that played at Target Center this year that played West Central and like the Fertile Belt Trammies of the world. And I don't think we can sleep on either of those because there's a lot of good ball up in that part of the state. And, you know, like Henning didn't even make it to state this year. And I saw Henning play and they were really good. So I think it'll be interesting to see what those two teams do. But like you guys said, Cherry's going to be very tough to beat. So again, those are the winners, we think, from the Czar and RJ from the horse's mouth. But again, those games, Class 4A, are starting at Target Center on Wednesday morning at 10. And then Class 3A, also Wednesday morning at 10, but those will be at Williams Arena. And then 2A games will start at Williams Arena on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, two of those games, and then two of them will be at Target Center on Wednesday. And then Class 1A quarterfinals on Thursday will be at Target Center starting at 11 a.m. there. So, again, just remember the split venues this year, folks. If you're going to get out and try to check these games out in person, the weather looks good for the most part. So hopefully there will be some good attendance again this year. But anything else that you guys are looking forward to for the state tournament here, Czar? We'll start with you.
Yeah, I love the idea that the little guys get to play at the Target Center. They always generally have to wait until their semis on Friday to get to the Target Center. So this year, they're Thursday, their quarterfinals at the Target Center. That's fun. And I love the smaller venue for the championship games. I love the idea of, you know, a possible sellout. They are the other big note for fans, if you're watching, it's not 1, 2, 3, 4 this year for the finals. I believe we go Class A and Class 3A in the morning session at state on Saturday, and then classes AA and 4A for the night session at 5 and 8 Saturday night. And I think they're doing that because of the smaller menu at Williams. So be aware of that. Check the schedules, everybody. Make sure you're in the right place. But yeah, everything Thursday through Saturday will be at Williams Arena. And like I said, I love the smaller venue. Yeah, it's a little more inconvenient over there to get around and whatnot, but would love to see a full house at Williams and a rocking crowd. I think if you had a full house for Wayzata Park Center for that, it would be absolutely electric. Just an atmosphere. You can't get in an 18,000 seat arena at the Target Center, even though we've had some wonderful crowds there over the years. Just the smaller ambiance of Williams, I think, would really add to it.
For sure. And then RJ, any last thoughts on the state tournament coming up here?
Well, what's really cool, and it's kind of rare, but what's really cool is you're going to have all five Mr. Basketball finalists all playing in the state tournament. It helps that they're so spread out with Isaac Azuma, who's headed to Minnesota in Class A, Daniel Freitag, who's going to Wisconsin in 2A, Isaiah Johnson, who's going to Miami in 3A, and then both Kasmir Chavis headed to Washington, and Jackson McAndrew headed to Creighton in 4A. So you'll get a chance to see all five of those guys at state, which is great. Plus, you throw in, you know, you got Grayson Grove, who's headed to Minnesota. Andy Stefanovic, who's going to Stefanowicz. I gotta say, you know, just keep saying it fast. Headed to North Dakota State, so there's a healthy supply. You know, Orono with Brady Woolley. That was Barry Woolley, Brady Woolley. I almost combined both of them. Brady Woolley and Nolan Groves playing for Orono. There's just a lot of star power that's going to be at this state tournament. And Dothan Ijeadambola, number one player in the sophomore class. Lots of star power at this. So it's going to be great to see so many good players, you know, at state.
For sure. So people make sure to check those guys out if you haven't seen them already. And I know you guys brought up the really fun section final game between Benilde and Orono that got a lot of attention with those buzzer beaters. Were either of you guys at that game in person?
No, I wasn't. I actually haven't actually watched the full thing yet. That's on my to-do list. But yeah, absolutely. I just saw the highlights, but yeah, absolutely electric. And that's it's a shame that game wasn't out at Chanhassen or a bigger venue, because I know that had a lot of anticipation and was held at the Haben Center at Benilde, which is a smaller building. So yeah, a lot of people have missed out on that.
Yeah, that game has traditionally been at Chanhassen, and it's the perfect fit for it. I didn't see it either. Like Kevin, I plan on watching it, but I haven't yet. It sounds like it's one of the best games of all time. You know, I can't really say that until I watch it. I still hold the 2007 games with Cass Lake and Ellsworth, as well as the Buffalo Armstrong games at state. I still hold those as the best games I've ever seen, but I need to watch this one to compare. Three buzzer beaters or something.
Well, and then that brought me back to the Marshall Waseca game a few years ago, when there was, I think, four buzzer beaters in that one. So as good as this one probably was, that one was right up there as well. But fun to see those games and those kids get the attention on SportsCenter and all the excitement that goes with that. So some other things we've been seeing, what we can just touch on briefly here, guys, is every year, you know, it comes around, we need to, you know, seed 64 teams in Class 4A or take the section finalists and have it be 16 teams and stuff like that. So I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts on if any of that has any merit or would be coming to fruition here anytime in the future. Czar, what do you think?
Well, none of it's going to happen. Let's just be crystal clear on that. Like, literally none of it. The discussion is great, but for all practical purposes, it's useless. So let's be clear on that. I have a unique take on it, I think, because I sat on the original 64 team seated committee. We ran it like the NCAAs do. We had first round home games for fans and for revenue. We had neutral site for semis and finals, which I don't know, like today we still have home sites all the way through, which I despise. We had more balanced sections. We had less travel. We had revenue. We had a better tournament, and it got voted down 19-1. Just proves the point that, you know, it's not about the quality of the tournament. It's about, you know, regional representation. And I think it's sad, because if you go back at that time level, this was like 2013 when this first was tried on an experimental basis. We just went through the process. That was in the Hurt Brothers era down at Rochester JM. And the Rochester schools were more opposed to the 64 team thing than anybody. They looked at it and said, oh, the Metro teams, you know, they'll dominate it. The out-state teams will never, ever make state. And we had, you know, three different sections that everybody could go to. Moorhead had to stay in St. Cloud. The Rochester schools had to stay in Rochester so that, you know, you wouldn't have Rochester at Bemidji on a first round game on a Tuesday night. But if you go back to that time frame, if this would have been in place, you probably wouldn't have had Lakeville North in Rochester John Marshall's section to beat them eight straight years for that title. The JM would have been a one seed in that section and probably had a better chance to make state than they ended up with otherwise. So I'm a big fan of the 64 team thing. I said I was in on the original plan for it. I think it was incredibly fair. You had neutral people doing it. You didn't have the coaches doing it. As we've seen, Section 4AA was one I spoke out against this year. There's always one or two sections where you look at how the coaches seeded it and you just shake your head at some of the logic that they used. And then you have computer polls, and full disclosure, I do one too. I think they're all junk, including mine. You know, all the things that, you know, we just computer seed because the coaches can't do it. That has its own problems. You know, take the year that we did the 64 team thing. Duluth East had Johnny Woodard out that year. By the end of the year, they were clearly a top eight team in the seat in the state, and we were able to give them a top eight seed that they deserved. The computers never would have done that because of their struggles that year. You know, Woodard didn't return that year until the Timberwolves shootout. So ideally, I think a 64 team thing would work. Certainly, there are some valid concerns about, you know, if we do it for 4A, then we need to do it for everybody. And obviously, the way 4A is set up with most of the teams in the Metro, it's a lot easier to do that than trying to do it for a single A, which obviously this teams are spread out completely all over the state. So there's that solution. There's been different competitive models proposed. Wisconsin's got a point system they're going to next year. You have California's open division possibility. There's been enrollment multipliers proposed at different places. And of course, there's always the cry this time of year of especially we had the Wisconsin tournament this weekend where there were four, every game had a private school in it, and four of the five champions, I believe, were private schools, that we should go back to a private school. Well, I grew up in Wisconsin when they did have the private school association. And ironically, I think we all said, well, you know, they don't play anybody, they should play the big schools. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, they should play in their own thing, and then say, well, they didn't play anybody, and then cry when they do play you and beat you. So it's never an easy problem. But in today's era where kids move around, and we've seen so much on the transfer side this year, not just this year, but in the last few years, especially. And you know, the Star Trib did a big article on it. And it gets linked to private schools, but we all know that, if public schools want to win bad enough, there are those who, find ways to have players end up there. So at the end of the day, I think it's really a matter of, what do you want to do?
Very well said. Very well said. RJ, your thoughts?
I just don't think we're keeping up with years ago. The populations change. Like the Metro has grown tremendously, but populations change. Also, and you just another example, and this is just talking about population change. Stuartville used to be what, a 2A school or a smaller school. Now Stuartville and Byron are getting much bigger because that community is growing, and populations change. So therefore, it shouldn't be that hard to honor that and respect that. But we get stuck in this selfish ways. People think it's Metro selfish to want the 4A state tournament. I believe it's small school selfish that they're crying about the fact that, why do they get something special? No, you have to represent where we're at. And right now where we're at is 55. My math could be a little bit off here because I haven't looked at it in a little bit here. But like 55 teams in 4A are Metro. Like Buffalo to Farmington is what, an hour drive? A little bit more than that? I don't know. I don't even know if it's that. Like you can, like that's, those are, and that's a 1A to an 8A, 1A, 1-4A to an 8-4A school. Like almost the entire 4A is Metro. And if it's not, Owatonna and Rochester are an hour out from the South Metro. And Sauk Rapids is an hour north. And like there are a few that are up there, but then again, Rogers has to drive up there if they play at Moorhead anyway, or like if Chicago has to drive up to Duluth and vice versa. So it's just, to me, I just don't feel that we are being fair to what 4A has grown into. Years ago, it wasn't quite like this. There was not as many huge suburban schools in terms of like it is right now. But like populations have changed. Some outstate schools that used to be 4A are now 3A, and it is what it is. But you can't have Farmington versus Rochester John Marshall, a 15 or 16 win team, in a 2-7 game when a couple miles and turns up the street, you have Egan, who Farmington beat twice. Like they're the one seed. And this isn't against Egan. Kevin McKenzie and them, great job. Your senior group has been great. Props to them. They went to state and they earned it. But at the same time, it doesn't make sense to me when you have a 1A school playing, a Section 1 school playing playing somebody that's better record-wise than somebody who's a 1 seed in 3-4A. It just doesn't balance out. It doesn't make sense. Like, what reward is it for Farmington to have to play Rochester John Marshall? And by the way, if that ball rims in at the end, John, Farmington's on the state tournament. JM had a rim out at the buzzer that almost stopped them from going to overtime in that game. There's just the balance isn't there. And they're and like Kevin had talked about John Marshall, like they were opposed to it. Well, in the last few years, I have spoke with some of these outstate teams about the 64 thing. Because like I talked to the Southern, I talked to reps from the Southern area, and I said, hey, what would you think? And their answer in multiple areas was, well, if anything to get us out of Lakeville North section would be great. You know, so like they would have a better chance since they were in Lakeville North. I don't know what that's going to be like going forward, but in recent years, that's been the case. So the balance just isn't there. And you can see it. When you look at the 4A brackets, the balance isn't there like it is in the other sections.
Yeah. And like Czar
said. So we need it, but we're never going to get it.
Like Czar said, it'll probably never happen. I think it's a fun banter for a lot of people to talk about on social media. And again, you know, there are good teams every year that don't end up making the state tournament. You know, you could look at Ryan's rankings on Prep Hoops, and there are 4 to 5 in every class that aren't here. Some because they played someone that's in state in their section final or semifinal. So it's just kind of the way the matchups go. But every year that happens, and I just think it's interesting fodder to discuss that a lot of people like to do on social media. So,
Matt, we have far too many first round class 4A blowouts than we have for years.
That is, you have seen a lot of those. You're right. So hopefully we won't get many this year, but it'll be fun to have people check those out. So thanks again, guys, for coming into the Bears Den here, chatting it up. Both of you guys are prominent on social media. Czar, do you want to maybe give people an update on where they can find you and follow along if you're covering some of these games?
Yeah. So on Twitter / X, it's at TC Hoops Czar. You can also find me online with the full writing I do at tchoops.blogspot.com.
Awesome. Thanks. RJ, where can people follow along with you?
Well, what you can do in the fall is buy this beautiful breakdown book every year that me and Tim Coleman put together. That is one location. You can find me at Prep Hoops Minnesota, which is also known as North Star Hoops Report. I write Gopher Illustrated covering the Gopher basketball team as well as their recruits. So, and you can find me on Twitter at Ryan James MN. And Matt, before you go, I need to ask you one question.
Yes.
If I gave you a Coke or a Pepsi, which one would you drink?
Well, it would probably be a Coke. I gotta admit.
Yes!
I hate you both.
I was wondering if we could make the whole episode without getting into the pop wars, but it didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Well, you're going to have so much Orange Crush to drink for the next 5 months after the Big Ten tournament, just dumped it all over the building. You got that to go for you.
Yeah, we'll see where that ends up. I'll ship some your way. Awesome. Well, thanks again, guys, and hopefully we'll see you at these games coming up here this week.
Thank you much, Matt. Pleasure to be here.